Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I feel like the Lord just wants to let you know that you're loved, that He loves you so much, and that He smiles when He sees each one of your faces. He's saying, don't look at your past, but look at your presence. Look at today. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So don't look at what happened or what you're doing. And He says, don't worry about it. Look at me, and your life will change. If you look at the situations or you look in the past, then you open a window to the enemy. Stop opening that window. Close that window and receive a peace that passes all your understanding, that you are a reflection of God, and He's looking at you, and He loves you so much. He doesn't want to see you feeling like He's a God of love. He's a God of wholeness. He wants to make you whole. But the thing is, He doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it. So let the Holy Spirit guide you and show you exactly what you need. And each one of us is different, so stop looking at your neighbor. Stop looking at anybody, but look at yourself and look. Whenever you see, you can't tell who you are whenever you look in the mirror. Unless you look in the mirror, you can't see who you are. So look in the mirror and look at Him. Looking at Him, because I can't tell you what I look like unless I see a mirror. And God is saying, look in the mirror and see me. Look in the mirror and see me, because that's who I am inside you. Peace that passes all your understanding.
I brought this up at the men's breakfast yesterday, and it was, how do you get good at doing something? And I was looking at it from the image of an athlete. They just keep doing it and doing it, and they go from being good to being great. And even though they were good, they still keep doing it. And they can't stay that way if they stop. And so the point I'm making is that just like an athlete, in order to stay right, the Holy Spirit is leading you in a certain direction. And sometimes we may have an issue with maybe we feel we don't read enough word, or maybe the things that come out of our mouth are not exactly what should be coming out of our mouth. The Holy Spirit is guiding us in a certain direction. And if we're having issues with anything, if we keep following His direction, pretty soon that practice that we get into just becomes natural. That's who you become. You become great. And just as I said at the men's, you know, the Olympics, these girls or guys, whatever they did it so perfect. And they were after a medal. They were after a gold medal or a silver medal. And as Pastor brought up, we're after a crown. We're after a crown. So you keep doing what you're doing. Keep practicing. Don't go back. Keep going forward and follow the Holy Spirit's lead. And all those things that you're having issues with not doing as you see them, pretty soon they're just going to become who you are. You're not even going to have to look back and say, how did I get here? Because He got you there. So that was it. God bless you guys.
So, you know, like Pastor John was saying, it's like, you know, you just get greater at doing something. I hope I'm getting better at talking, right? On the mic. Like, if I talk yeah, thank you. No, that was the spotty applause, so I know what the answer to the question is now. But the thing is like, the whole, I would not be a person on the stage giving sermons if it weren't for Pastor asking me to do the announcements. Like, it's kind of weird to go from, like, clicking slides to doing announcements to coming up here and actually giving sermons. I mean, there's a whole lot more behind that than that. But it was part of that training. So it doesn't matter how small you may think some kind of task or job is when you're serving God. It always leads to something bigger. And if you got that in the back of your mind, like, you know what? It's not for me. I'm not that person. I'm not that guy. Talking about one, you know, I've been married 17 years. About Micaiah, it's true. I thought I wasn't going to find anybody, and I was praying about it. And I remember the story a little differently. I remember going into the bathroom at a dance. And this guy, John, comes up to me. He was in our equestrian, like, youth group thing. And he's like, come on, everybody sees it. He's like, are you going to ask her to dance? So I went out and I asked Micaiah to dance. And we went on a date after that. And I knew after that, it's like, she's the one I'm going to marry. And I didn't tell her that. Because that would just be weird. It's like, God has destined us that we're going to get married together. No. But I knew in my heart, in my spirit, that we were going to get married. But I want to tell you, like, that's with anything in your life can be like that. You just, because just think about this. I've heard people say, you know, I don't think that there's one person for everybody. I think there's multiple people out there. If you get one of them, that's the one God has for you. It's like, are you telling me the guy who, like, spoke everything into existence, the God of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the plans I have for you, the same one that speaks to us through Ephesians that says that he prepared good works in us in advance for us to do, you're going to tell me that God isn't able to pick who I'm going to marry? So, just let me tell you this. If God has ordained it and he put it in your heart, not just who you marry, but like how, whatever you do in life, God will give it to you, but he will also equip you and make you be that person he needs you to be in order to carry that out.
We hunger and we thirst, yes, to be like our Father in heaven, and we desire it more than anything else. He will fulfill that. He will pour it into us.
Yes. Praise God.
To the measure that you expect and the measure that you want is what you will receive.
Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you.
God, I pray you would stir our hearts, that we would be so hungry for you, Lord, yes, that we would be willing to lay down our lives, Lord God, and set aside everything that would hinder, Lord.
Ooh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Lord, your love is perfect. Your love is selfless, Lord God. Let our love towards you be selfless, Lord.
There's one more thing that I forgot to mention that God kept on stirring in my heart that I need to say something. And he says that he's proud of you, each one of you. Some of you haven't heard that through their families, through teachers, through whatever, that they're proud of you. But Jesus says, the Father God says, I am proud of you, each one of you. So he is going to touch your heart.
Thank you.
And he is going to break down all the confusion and all the doubts because he's proud of you and he loves you.
Yes, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah.
I was on the freeway and all of a sudden, I was just so full of joy. And this happens all the time. And people have known me. Giselle, why are you so happy?
Praise God.
And this is a way for me to tell them about Jesus. Yes. It's supernatural.
Yes, Lord.
I love that joy.
Come on. Praise God.
I love when I'm not a morning person. So when I'm rushing here and barely getting here, I go, oh, I can't miss worship. I love to worship.
Hallelujah.
And I gave my heart. I gave my heart so many times to God, you know, when I gave it to man.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken. Wow.
Yeah.
And I go, that's it. No more. I know, Lord. I've got to give it to you. I've got to put you first. And since then, my heart has not been broken because I'm not dependent on a human or when they disappoint. I mean, I'm not hurt by it anymore. Even those who are close to me, because I gave my heart to God. Mm. And many years ago, I remember I had a loss. And I went back to that place and I started walking, and all of a sudden I just started feeling, oh, I'm hurting. I miss that person. And God, as I'm walking, God took it away. And I go, whoa, I didn't even ask. And he just took it away.
Come
and
on,
I go, oh, yeah, because I gave you my heart.
Amen.
And I'm speaking to somebody here today. Give him your heart. And when you start feeling and thinking negative or thinking that your situation and you walk in defeat, no, God is calling out to you. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, take this burden away from me. I give you my heart.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not one time telling him, oh, I give you my heart. It's when you start feeling and thinking that way, give him your heart again on a daily basis.
Come on, praise God.
Can't walk in defeat because that's a lie from the enemy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our Father is a king and we need to walk in that victory. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, praise God. Is Jesus king? Is he king? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We still got enough time for somebody else. If you're down there. God. We believe in this church that we believe in body ministry, believers speaking to believers. Amen. And I know happens out there where, you know, when you leave the door, you're out in the parking lot and you're talking to each other, you're meeting in houses and stuff and everything. But also here, right here, we believe that maybe there's something that you have that's within you that somebody out there needs. How many say amen to that? And God's just trying to get it. He's got it to you, but he wants to get it through you. Okay? So be comfortable. And I know we've got folks that have come up to this microphone and shaking. How many say amen? Amen. But once God begins to use you and speak through you, you'll see that they clear up and a boldness comes upon them. Amen? How many know we need to be bold for Jesus? Amen? Hallelujah. And if you can't speak to a bunch of people that love you, how are you going to speak out there? Amen? For those folks that don't care about you. Is that right? Come on, man. God loves you. He's going to take care of you. And he wants to speak through you. He wants to use you for his kingdom. How do you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You guys have done. Once again, Brendan, Jason, Robert, man, appreciate you guys, man, so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's good. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. God is good. How many say amen to that? How many of you know? Hey, I've been talking a little bit. God, the Holy Spirit has had me speaking on the fullness of Christ, wanting his people to be full. How many say amen to that? How many believe that we need to be Christ-like in this earth? Is that right? How many believe that? How many, that's a goal in your life? Praise God. It should be. If it's not, because God, hey, Jesus didn't save you. Amen? He didn't save you just to be who you were. Come on, man. He placed a new creature. You are a new creature in Christ. And it's important that you understand who you are in him and why he's doing what he's doing in your life. Is that okay? Is he a good guy? Yes, he is. Praise God. I want to put up the power verse for today. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. This has been the power verse for all of these fullness messages that God has been speaking in my life. And can I just say to you I believe that God is really desiring to mature the body of Christ. I'm going to say amen to that. I believe that there's a quickening that God, by the Holy Spirit, is doing to the body of Christ that is quicker than it's ever been before. How many say amen to that? How many of you ever watched I remember when I was in high school, man, you were a champ. You were an all-star if you could do a wheelie with a bike. But now, how many of you watch those kids on the, doing wheelies? And I mean, now they do it on skateboards. They're doing flips. And I was watching a guy in the Olympics match. I can't believe it. And there was a young lady diving in the Olympics that was getting perfect scores, absolutely perfect, never done before. Never done before, this young lady. And so, I mean, how many of you know that these are, I mean, I don't know how long, do you know how old she was? Like 14 or something? These are, I mean, to learn those things and have the ability to be the champion of, you know, can I tell you, there is a quickening happening. You can see it in the earth. You can see it among people. But I want to tell you that it's also happening in the body of Christ. You might say to me, well, it's going to take years for this young person to grow in Christ. Who said that? Show me a verse. Show me a scripture for that. I remember one day I said, Lord, well, I had a lot of notes for my youth group. And I would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take all these notes and I'm going to just, one year, McKay and a bunch of kids, they all graduated. So my youth group had a whole bunch of different kids in there. Kids that had graduated from eighth grade came up, and now I've got a whole bunch of different kids. I said, Lord, I'll just teach them what I taught these other ones last year. Did not work. How many say amen to that? Did not work. Can I tell you, you have to give God, you got to give God's people stuff that's fresh. Amen? Fresh in your heart. Fresh. I like fresh bread. Anybody like fresh bread? Man, it's got to be fresh. It's got to be out of the oven. It's got to be something. How many, I'm not crazy. You know, I like French bread, but I don't like that hard, crusty stuff. You know what I mean? I like it soft. I like it where you can, yeah, this is good bread. And you know what? And that, you know, that's, I really believe that God wants us having fresh, fresh food. Hallelujah. I believe that. Well, those young people, I could not get them to do anything. And the Lord said something to me, Henry, it's because you're not listening to what I have for them. I have things for them that's different than when the last generation has just left. So will you still have to listen to me? So I learned something. How many know you learn things from God? Is that right? God teaches you. He shows you things. He lets you know how to handle things. And I just love it. Well, he is telling me that he is preparing the body of Christ for things. What things? He hadn't said to me. Could they be good things? Absolutely. He's always preparing us for good things. But they can also be some things that we might think they're not so good. How many say amen to that? How many of you have already gone through something that you said, no, this is not good? How many have been? And you found out later on that Jesus is who he said he would. He's not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent on the things he's told you. He says, if you trust me, if you believe me, walk and you watch. I'll build you. I'll strengthen you. So what we're trying to do, what I believe with all my heart that God is trying to do is build the body of Christ. Place a fire within you, like we were singing this morning, just put a fire in that you might go home and you might take these things and you might begin to just to look at them and begin to ask God, God, what are you saying to me? God, what? I mean, just show me if you think you're a mature Christian in Christ. Come on. Okay, thank you, John. So yeah, give me a hand, you know, let me show me what you think. How many think you're still a babe in Christ? Good. How many of you know that you've got a long way to go? I'm going to put my hand up. I got a long way to go. The more I look at God's word, the more I see that he's trying to speak into our lives. The more I see things, the more that he shows me. I say, God, I'm so far away. When I look at Jesus, how many, do you know that Jesus is our example? Do you know that he was on the earth to do a couple of things? One of the things was to remove your sins from you. How many say amen? He wanted to take your sins away so that you could stand before the Father, so that you could hear what God is saying to you personally. Is that right? No more need for sacrifices, no more need for priests that you speak your sins to. Go right to God. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? Aren't you glad? The other thing he came for was to show us what a righteous man looks like when he's walking on this planet. How many say amen to that? How many know that God, I'm going to say this because God spoke this to my heart the other day and I just kind of go, what? And then I started looking at it. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, heaven wasn't made for man. How many of you want to die and go to heaven? I think everybody in the room says, yeah, I want to die and go to heaven. How many say amen to that? But the word of God, if you look at God's word, you're going to find that the earth was created and prepared for man. How many say amen to that? And so we're in such a big hurry to get off of this thing where God is saying, look, you need to speak to my body, Henry, and you need to hear what I'm saying in these things that I have created you to take dominion in this earth. Is that okay? Woo. And there is a way that God wants us to walk in order to take dominion. And in that walk is the fullness of Christ. How many say amen to that? I want you to hear this word. This is what he says. I went ahead and got the NIV. Praise God. How many say amen? Amen. Praise God. I love it. Pastor John's always telling me, say NIV, man. You haven't had a pussy till you had the NIV. Come on, man. Here's the NIV. It says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. How many say there's been a bunch of those? Would you say that? To equip his people for the work of service. Amen? How many say amen? Say amen. Yeah, guess what? You're in the service whether you know it or not. Hallelujah. Okay. So it says, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. How many say amen to that? Could it be that we've been looking at things? Can I tell you that somehow, I was talking to a brother one day and he said, we'll never be. The body of Christ is too scattered. It cannot happen. It's an impossibility to get the body of Christ together. How many of you say, I kind of get it, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. Is that right? It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit is what the Lord says. So the Holy Spirit is the only one that can get the body of Christ together. When you're hearing him, hallelujah, you don't need to hear a lot of other stuff. You listen to him and he will give you unity with other people in the body of Christ where there's no strife, there's no anger, there's no, none of this stuff, there's no contending. How many of you know that contending is not what God has for the body? Is that right? So it says right here, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of who? Man, the Son of God. Like I said, he was here not only for sins, but also to provide an example of what a godly man looks like. That's why the Word of God is so important to you, so that you can go into the Word of God and look at Jesus and say, hey, man, who was Estella talking about the mirror? How many of you ever notice that about the Word of God, that you're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden you see yourself and you go, man, I got it. Amen? Anybody ever done that? See, that's what's good about the Word of God. It will show you things about who you are, who and what's lacking, what's needed. The Word of God will do that for you by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't need that some man teach you. Is that okay? Is that all right? The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He'll guide you into all truth. Is that okay? Amen. Praise God. So he says, hi. We are? Here, I thought it was me. I'm going to tell you, folks, I do shake quite a bit before I get up here. You might think. Sure. Is that better? Is that better now? Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to have it here. See if I don't swing arms. Because I talk with my hands. Let me say amen to that. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Here we are. It says, till we all come in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature. I like that word. How many of you want to be mature in the things of God? Hallelujah. Jesus, it didn't take him long to be mature. How many say amen to that? When he walked into that temple and he was talking amongst the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders. They were amazed at who he was. They amazed him. He amazed those guys. Let me say amen to that. He was at 12 years old. I say he was mature. He was on a roll. Let me say amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He'd never walked. Listen, he'd never walked in the flesh. Is that right? He was sent from above to walk as a man walked. Praise God. So don't be so hard on yourself. Amen, sister. Don't be so hard on yourself. Hey, God's going to show you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. Let him take you. Don't be hard on yourself. Say, man, I'm a lousy Christian. No, you're not. You're learning. Amen. Let me say that. Let me say amen to that. Everybody say, I'm learning. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, God's teaching me. I'm a learning. I'm on this huge learning curve. Where? I don't know on that curve, but I'll tell you what, I'm learning. I'm learning. Amen. Praise God. He says, till we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is the apostle via the Holy Spirit speaking a word into. He's looking to make you just like Jesus. How many say amen to that? It says, to the whole measure of the fullness. The fullness. Everybody say fullness. The fullness of Christ. I've been bringing this scripture. How many of you know this is the same scripture I've had the last four times that I've been up here speaking, when we talked about powerful, we talked about merciful, right? We talked about, what was another one we talked about? Truthful, is that right? Full of truth, full of mercy, full of power. And today we're talking about being full of peace. These are attributes of the fullness of Christ that God is saying, look, I'm putting this out there. Because this world needs to see the body of Christ more than it ever has before. How many say amen to that? We are living in a time that, man, looks kind of weird. How many say amen? I mean, we are living in a time where there's a lot of insurity out there. Is that right? There's a lot of stuff going on. And we have to be a people that's on the earth with a vision and with a purpose. And you watch what God will do. Because my vision, my purpose is that I might walk in the full measure of Christ. I want to walk there. I believe that when I get there, I believe that when you get there, that you're gonna see miracles like you hadn't ever seen before. You're gonna say things, and you're gonna see them take place because you've spoken, because the Holy Spirit has spoken into your heart, and you've spoken it into the earth, and you'll see these things take place because you are walking now in the fullness of Christ. Let me say amen to that. Amen. So let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. We're gonna read a story, and we're talking about peace. Peace. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, peace. Give them a peace sign. Peace sign. This was a big deal when I was in high school. You know, hey, peace, peace, bro. Yeah, come on, man. Hey, you just drove over my grass. Peace, man. Be nice. Be good, man. Come on, man. I mean, so praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Father God, that you would, Father, not only, God, speak to our hearts, Father, but Lord, change our hearts. It's one thing to hear your word, Father, but it's another whole different thing, Father God, when your spirit takes that word and changes our heart. So, Lord, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, have your way in our lives. Father, I ask you by the Holy Spirit, let the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. Strengthen and build up the body of Christ, Lord. We receive that in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Hallelujah. Oh. I heard this. I got this when we were worshiping. Can you do me a favor, Abe? I'm sorry. Can you move? I need to look at verse 24 first. Can we look at that first? I didn't put that down. And he said unto them, take heed with what you hear, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Amen. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Hallelujah. Jesus had just got through speaking that to the apostles. And then the word of God says, and starting at verse 35, it says, in the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. How many know it's important to pay attention to what Jesus is saying? How many know that? It's important to hear the words and hear what he's saying to you. And, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God is speaking more and more today than he ever has. He is speaking to the body of Christ if they'll listen. How many got ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Walk with ears to hear. God, whatever you want to speak to me, speak it to me. Let me hear you. And he says this. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took them even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace. Yeah. Be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Isn't that a good word? Amen. What manner of man is this that even the sea and the wind obey him? Praise God. How many know that it's good to be with Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad that he said to you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Is that right? And here he is with the disciples. He said, let's go to the other side. He tells them that. They said, okay, they all get in the boat, and they take off in the boat. And we've got to remember, good deal of these guys were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to what it was to be in a storm. They knew all that stuff. And the Bible says here that Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. And I mean, say amen to that. Can I tell you, if there's ever a picture of peace, there's a picture right there of peace. There's a storm going on. These guys are bailing water out of the boat. Hey, man. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. Wake him up. No, man, leave him alone. Wait, finally they get excited. These guys got scared. They said, hey, don't you care? Have you ever asked the Lord that? You ever gone through something? Gone through a storm? And you say, God, don't you care? Praise God. You think God's, oh my God, they're in a storm. I need to help them. No, do you think God gets excited about that? I think in the scriptures here, it says, there arose a great storm. Is that what it says? I think, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind. What was great about it? Have you ever been in a great storm? Have you been in a big storm where you had no idea how you're going to get out of it? You ever been in a place, in a position where the only one that could get you out of that position would be God? You ever been there? You see, this was a great storm. What's great about it? It was a mean storm. I'm going to use another word, but don't call it great. How many say amen? I don't know if you want to call it great or not, but I'll tell you what. It was a fierce storm. Use that word. It was a scary storm. Use that word. But no, the word of God says it was a great storm. Is that right? Can I tell you that storms can reveal something great to you if you'll let it? The storms you go through, God will reveal things to you that you probably didn't know before because he wants to show you something. Because it is, I tell you something, I have seen God work in my life, and those things that I call storms, they turned out to be a great storm. Praise God. One day we had just bought the building, We're rejoicing, amen? Rejoicing. Praise God. God, you're taking us. You're doing something. And then I get a call from the county treasurer, Pima County treasurer. You owe us $31,000. I go, what? They say, yep, that's right. You come down. So I beeline down to Tucson, was talking to them, and they said, hey, you did not file owning this building before the end of the year. I said, well, we're a nonprofit organization. We don't have to pay taxes. Well, here's the deal, sir. You didn't file. We bought this building on January, what, the 3rd or the 4th? It was a few days after January the 1st. So you bought the building on this day. It left the owner where he didn't have to pay for the taxes for the building. You fell in a loophole. You fell in a crack. And that crack is $31,000. I go, what? Are you kidding me? So I came back. I said, Pastor John, we got to pray. And I ran, we got to pray, man. They want $31,000. The Pima County, we don't pay taxes. But now all of a sudden we got a $31,000. They said, somebody's going to pay this. And I doubt if it's going to be the old owner. He's not going to pay it. Sir, it's yours. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So the girl tells me, she goes, you're going to have to come back. I'm in a storm. How many say amen to that? I'm in a little bit of a storm. I say, oh, God, I'm trying to bail the water out from the tears. God, what are you doing? What are you doing to me, God? And I said, Lord, what's going on? And the girl tells me, you know what? If you want to, you have to come back and talk to the treasurer, the county treasurer. I can't remember. If you want. You'll need to. I said, man, I'm going to have to because I don't see how this is going to happen. She goes, oh, it'll happen. How many of you know that Pima County, if you owe money, they're going to get your money? Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, everybody here pays county taxes, right? So I go in. I get a phone call from, I can't remember what his name was, but he calls me up. He says, Mr. Ayala, you need to come down here so we can discuss your bill. Okay. So I get down there, and he tells me, he goes, you're non-exempt. I said, yeah, that's what I was telling him. We're not supposed to pay that. He goes, well, you've fallen into a crack. Yeah, that's what she said. We've fallen in a crack, and now somebody's got to pay. He says, look, he says, you ever heard of news on, what, Channel 9 on your side? Anybody heard of that? It's a complaint place where you can put a complaint. He goes, one thing I don't want to have done is to be on TV trying to explain why I charge taxes to a non-exempt, to a church. He says, I'm not going to do that. He says, I'm just going to waive the fee. Woo, praise God, man. And what came out of my mouth, I said, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And he just looked at me. I said, hey, man, that's who we are, man. Praise God. But you know what? I was in a storm. And you know what? I like Jesus sleeping in the boat. How many say amen? He's in a storm with them. Is that right? Is he concerned about the storm? Obviously not. Lord, don't you know we're going to perish here? Praise God. Could it be that it was a great storm? I was in a great storm. I learned something great from that great storm that I was in. I learned that Jesus, once again, is true just as much as his word says he is. He is faithful. How many say amen to that? I just want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. This is it. Check this out. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial was to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. What we're after here is the peace of God. And so the word of God is instructing. This is Peter. He was in that boat. And he says, hey, man, don't think it strange about the things that you're going through. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? Can I tell you that God's going to take care of you no matter what? No matter what position you're in, he will take care of you if you will trust him. Amen? Praise God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says this. Beloved, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, how many of you are heirs of Jesus Christ? How many of you are heirs? Every hand in the room should be, hey, I'm an heir. Not a hair, an heir. I'm an heir. You are an heir. What's that? Somebody that's going to receive what? An inheritance. Is that right? You're an heir. Now he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child or she's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Do you see those words? This is the word of God talking to you. Though you be Lord of all. Do you know that you are Lord of all? Do you know that? Because of him that dwells in. Do you understand that? That he has promoted you. You might not get the promotion, but you might not understand the promotion, but the promotion is that it's set. You are an heir. But he needs to teach you stuff. Is that okay? I think we spend a lot of time teaching ourselves, trying to teach the things, trying to learn, trying to dig. And I tell you, I love digging into the word of God. I do. But I love when God begins to speak to my heart and he shows me something. He wants to show me a revelation. And then now all my digging is profitable to me. Can I say, you understand what I'm saying? God wants to take you into his word so he can show you things. He wants to teach you and lead you, strengthen you with his word. Because I tell you, when revelation hits your heart, when revelation comes into you, you'll never lose it. It will not leave you because it doesn't come into your mind. It comes into your heart. Is that okay? And it says right here, he says that you are a servant. You're like a servant. Though you be Lord of all, he says, but you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. You see, God is placing teachers in your life. Teachers. Can I say the best teachers in your life are probably events. Events will teach you like crazy. How many say amen to that? You will think you can't make it through, and all of a sudden you're through it. He will take you through. That's why he says, that's why Peter said, hey, don't count it as a strange thing when you go through these things, because God is strengthening you. He's building you. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. I want to read this to you. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many say amen? Are you listening? Yeah, come on, God, bring me a trial. Come on, Lord, I can take it. I mean, it says, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. I'm not crazy about those trials, but I do know in my heart they're good for me. That's why he says, count it all joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. There's that word again, mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. Amen? I want to read part of this out of the message because it really kind of brings out a point here. This is in the Message Bible. It's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, consider it a sheer gift. How many say amen? When tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Everybody say amen. Not everybody saying amen. Praise God. And it says, I like the way it says it here. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. Your faith life is forced out in the open and it shows your true colors. How many still get fired up when things happen? Yeah, a lot of us do. I get a little nervous when things aren't going right. I really do. I put on a different face. It's called nervous face. I put that, I mean, and you know what? I know that under pressure, things show up. Is that right? When God places pressure on you, things will show up. Is that right? Are they for God to know who you are and what you are like? No, he already knows it. It's for you. It's for you to see yourself operating under this pressure. And you're saying, how many know what to do when things get really tough? How many know what to do? Come on, man. You know what to do. I don't have to tell you. If something within you says, we need to pray. God, we need to pray. Last night I spent, there was a couple of nights, I have a, somebody called me up and they're going through a storm. They're going through a storm. And first the wife called me and I spoke to her. And then she goes, look, I'm going to have my husband call you. And could you please talk to him? And when I began to speak to him, I said, hey, brother, let's pray. Because they're Christians. I said, brother, let's pray. I said, brother, I'm going to ask you to go first. And he said, okay, all right. So when he began to pray, whoo, man, it almost knocked me off the, I was sitting on the bed. And when he began to pray, it almost knocked me off. Here is a father praying for his son, pleading for his son's life. And man, I'll tell you what, the anointing was so powerful. And then he goes, okay, bro, pray. I said, wait a minute, I got to catch up. Man, I'll tell you what, man, because I sensed the Holy Spirit powerfully and wonderfully speaking through that man. Whoo, huh? You know what to do. You know what to do. How many of you ever said, like, I don't know what to do? I got this thing going on. I don't know what to do. I came back with this you owe $31,000. I told Pastor John, hey, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, man. Hey, I got no idea what to do. Yeah, you do. Pray. Call upon God. That's what he says. Call upon me in times of trouble and I will answer you. Do you understand that? Because what he wants to give you, can I just say, what Jesus was displaying in that boat in the midst of the storm was great peace. There was peace like you couldn't, I mean, Jesus, hey man, can you imagine Jesus getting up out of the back, had his pillow, oh man, maybe he carried the pillow to him to the front of the boat, looks out, peace, be still. Looks at his guys, says, oh, you guys, all right, I'm going back to bed. He says, but let me tell you something. Why are you so fearful? Why? Can I tell you, we get fearful in times. How many say amen? And it's because we can't see what's right before us. Jesus is before us. He said, I'll come before you. I'll go up behind you. I'll be on either side of you. That's who Jesus is. He is a shield to you. He wants you to operate in peace. Be at peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry, man. Didn't mean to hit that, John. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. Uh-oh, computer turned off. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. How do you say amen to that? Come on, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. He says, I've said these things so that you can have peace, that you might know. You can just keep yourself. Hallelujah. Is that right? The Holy Spirit will keep you. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. How many say amen to that? Listen, check this out. He said, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. See, God is speaking a couple of things right here. He said, hey, look, one thing you need to do is keep your mind on me. How many say amen? Folks, I mean, today is not the day to be to be taking all the different stuff that's on the internet and trying to make sense out of it. It's not the day. This is not the day for that. Today, the day is for you to be in your closet, to be in your time with the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me personally? Lord, show me what you want me to do. Lord, help me. Show me how to walk. Show me what to do. Show me how to say. I mean, whatever it is that's on your heart, you need to be in that. I mean, you don't need to be collecting all this evidence around the world that comes through the internet and saying, hey, trying to make some kind of sense out of it. How many say that does not bring peace? How many say amen to that? It doesn't. Yeah, there are men of God out there. Praise God. But you know how to find God. Amen. You know how to pray. Amen. Find him and say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? You know what's more important, what he's saying to you personally, than it is what he's saying out there in the world. How many say that? It's more important to what he's telling you personally than all the events that are going on out there in the world. So in order for you to contain, to have peace, how many want peace in your vessel, like you have peace overflowing? How many want that? The way to have it is to have that connection with Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you got, I'll take it. Hallelujah. Know this, that whatever you go through, he's taking you through it. Is that right? It's not going to last. You're his kid, and he has promises for you that he's given you. Amen? Hallelujah. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust him. How many trust the Lord? Do you trust him? I don't see any hands over here. Nobody. All right, I'm almost done. I'm sorry. Do you trust him? Is he trustable? Can you place your trust on God? Can you? Amen. Oh, you can. I was talking to a guy. I said, man, you realize this planet is hanging in nothing. Nothing's holding us up except for the word of God. That's what's this planet is. Can you trust him? Well, you probably better. Yeah, come on, man. You better. You can place your trust on him. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 30 says this. Of my own will, of my own self, I do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but I seek the will of the Father which has sent me. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus trusted his Father. How many say amen to that? Jesus was sent here to die for our sins, and Jesus trusted God in all the events, everything that was going to happen to him, he trusted his Father. There's one place where he said, I lay my life down, but my Father has promised me that he's going to raise it back up again. And Jesus is showing great trust for the words that God has spoken to him. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your dinero? Are you trusting in the money you have? Your ability to make money? Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in man? Are you trusting your insurance company? Come on, man. Come on. What are you trusting? Hallelujah. God says at this, I'll have no other gods before me. And I'll tell you, he knows where you're putting your trust. You hear what I'm saying to you? God knows where you're placing your trust. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? I trust him being here in this church. I question him. I said, God, there's got to be somebody better than me out there, man. Come on, man. Look at all these folks you got here, man. Why did you pick me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? God finally said, because you said that you would do anything I asked you to. And I did. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to. And when he said, pastor of church, I know, except that. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. See, the word of God says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He loves you. He's prepared things for you. And they're going to come via the Holy Ghost. He's going to show you those things. I told the pastor I never wanted. Is it hot in here? Ooh, I'm sweating. Okay, never mind. I told the Lord, hey, God, I didn't pray to be a pastor. I didn't pray. But the Holy Spirit said, oh, you prayed. You just didn't know you're praying. And I tell you, praying in the Holy Ghost is powerful stuff. It's not for the unlearned. Praying in the Holy Ghost and praying effectively in the Holy Spirit is something the Holy Spirit will teach you how to do. And he'll get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger And before you know it, you'll be seeing things happening that you never thought would happen. Can you say amen to that? Because you're not praying according to your own will. You're praying according to the word of God. You're praying to the will of God. And when you're praying in the spirit, and I will tell you, you know how to get what you need from God. You know, it's within you. It's already there. He's placed it in you. Use it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus trusted his Father. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see where it says with all your heart, and don't lean onto your own understanding. We have certain things that this is the way this works in this world. And God, nothing can change that. Can I tell you something? That's a lie. Don't lean on your own understanding. The word of God says this, that you died on the cross. How many say amen? You died on the cross. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ lives in me. You died on the cross. Hallelujah. Don't lean on your understanding from the old man. We keep going back to that old man and going after that understanding back there. And I'm like, God is saying, look, I'm giving you a whole new understanding if you'll allow me to. Lean on him. He will give you peace that passes all your understanding. Do you know that? How many say amen to that? He wants to give you peace that passes that understanding. Like your understanding level is here, man. Your peace level will go way, way above it. How many say amen? Praise God, because he knows all about you. He knows what's going on. Nothing surprises him. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. The reason I put it on there again is because I wanted to say it again. He will keep you in perfect peace. Amen. Because you trust him. Trust him. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says this. Be careful for nothing. How many say amen? Don't be careful. I mean, he said when the people are, okay, be careful as they go. Yeah. But be careful for nothing. In other words, don't let your heart be worried about things. Don't let things overtake you and overwhelm you. Don't allow it. You are a child of God. You have been designed to walk in faith. You've been designed to walk in understanding with God. Hallelujah. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be what? Made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure and just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of what? Peace will be with you. Can I tell you how important it is to keep your mind focused on who God is? Keep yourself focused on him. Don't allow yourself to be distracted with the cares of the world. Amen? Don't allow yourself to be moved into a position where you're worried, where you're stressed. Does anybody here get stressed? It happens, amen? Don't allow yourself. Say, you know what? No, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust him. Because he has paid a price for you so that you can be the righteousness of God in him. Is that okay? You need to be just like him. I'm going to read a few things. Romans 15, 33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. That's what it says. The God of peace be with all of you. Ephesians 2, 14 says, he is our peace. How many say amen? He is our peace. Colossians 1, 20 says, he made peace through the blood of his cross. Do you know that? Colossians 3, 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How many say amen to that? Let his peace rule you. Amen. Can you stand? Hallelujah. You see a lot of things going on in the world today. There's a lot of things that look contrary to what God's word says. Is that how many say amen? How many know that? There's a lot of things. I mean, we just saw In just a few days, a country like Afghanistan, where we battled for over 20 years, is that right? Just in a few days, the Taliban retook that city or that nation. And we're sitting here looking at all these things going on. We say, God, what's going on? What's going on? God has told us that we are to have peace. He wants you to be peaceful. Is that right? I'm not talking about going over there with a little peace sign, with a peace flag, saying, hey, man, we're here for peace. No, I'm talking what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that we are the body of Christ. Peace ought to be something that's within us, that we don't allow the events of what we've seen go on to change the way we treat people, the way we act, the way we say things. We are to be people that are full of peace. So what I want to do is I just want to pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will just pour upon each and every person here today. Is there anybody here that is just kind of out of sorts? You're so stressed. You're so worried about something. I want you to come up here so we can pray for you. It won't take very long. We're just going to lay our hands upon you. And we're going to pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep you and watch over you. Come on over here. Stand up here. Come on, Pastor John, come on. No. Stay up here. There you go, bro. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I'm going to ask again, if any of you have anything, maybe you're worrying about job, maybe you're worrying about finances, maybe you're worrying, I don't care what it is, but you know what? God knows about it. He says, I want you to have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So what we're going to do this morning, we're just going to pray. And I'm going to pray for all of you anyway. You're all going to get, I'm believing God's just going to let peace would come and overtake you. But for these folks that are up here, we're going to pray that God will show himself strong on their behalf and that peace that he's promised, he is our peace, would overtake them. Amen. So if you would, raise your hands. And as we pray, Pastor John, we'll start praying. Stella. Father, I thank you for peace. Father, the tangible in the spiritual, Father God, the peace that passes all understanding, Father. I pray that it would overtake every heart that's in this building. Every heart, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on up here. Pray for me. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.